We are back.
Yes, we are. Episode 3. After I thought that was a particular... I know I'm bound to say this anyway, but I thought it was a really interesting interview we had last week with Piggy French. I think she came across really well, and all that stuff about the wedding was, I thought, really interesting. It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. And it's nice to hear things about our riders that aren't just, I got on a horse and I went to a competition, and then I got off that horse and went to another competition with a different horse. Yeah, it's nice to hear about them as people.
Absolutely. So we are back in the BEF garden, and it is, well, I was going to say it's gorgeous weather. It's not, I mean, it's pretty warm, but we're expecting to be even hotter later this week. It's a little bit windy, so you might be able to hear the tree that is grows right in the middle of the BEF offices. You might be able to hear that rustling in the background as we're talking. But we have got a real treat for you today as what we're talking about. Tell us what we're doing.
We're sandwiching this in between team announcements.
Oh my God, we're so busy.
it's one of those days, and we've taken 10 minutes just to go and clear our heads and talk into a microphone. But yes, today, we are talking about Park Palace ponies.
Yes, now this is a project that I was really excited about when I first joined. So they are based in Toxteth in Liverpool, which is my hometown. And it's an equestrian centre in a disused derelict cinema in the middle of Toxteth. And it's amazing because we went up there, it was just a few weeks ago, you and I took the train up to Liverpool, and it was a gorgeous day there, wasn't it?
It was beautiful, and you know, gorgeous, gorgeous sunshine. We piled into a taxi, drove, you know, away from the station, middle of very urban environment, yeah. And suddenly out the window there's a pony.
It's just, and as I say, it's in this sort of abandoned cinema, so they've ripped the seats out, and the upper floor, they've taken that out as well, but the rest of the building is pretty much as was. And you've even got the fascia that would have been around the screen, the cinema screen itself. It looks amazing in there. And so tell us about that day, because we watched a club coming in, some school kids coming in.
Yeah, so we got there and Keith, who's the chair of the board, showed us around and sort of gave us the tour. And then we wandered up to the allotments, which is where the ponies spend their mornings when they're not being ridden. They're up at the local allotments keeping the grass down, and we walked back with them back to the centre.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
It was, because it's a busy road. And these ponies just don't bat an eyelid at the buses going past them and the lorries going into the, I think they're flower factories, but just all these people down the streets just stopping and looking and pointing at the ponies, and they're such a part of the community there.
They absolutely are, and you'll hear from all the people that we spoke to. In fact, let's do that first, because we're going to talk about the reviews that we've had on iTunes as well, because everyone's been very kind and answered my somewhat needy plea for people to give us 5-star reviews. You've no idea how helpful it is. It isn't just about our egos, Rachel, is it?
Well, it is a little bit.
It is a little bit about our egos, but yes, let's hear first. From it's Keith Hackett.
So yes, we start off with Keith telling us about how the project got started. We then talk to Esther from AMERT, which is a local disaster relief charity, about how they've partnered up with Park Palace. We then talk to one of the teachers who was there for the session that we watched while we were there. And last, we go and talk to some of the staff at Lawrence School, which was the first school to team up with Park Palace ponies, and some of the impact that relationship has had on the children in the school.
Keith Hackett, I'm chair of the board at Park Palace Ponies.
I think we should start talking by looking at how this all started.
Its origins lie astonishingly, in the Merseyside Committee of the British Horse Society. We were concerned about the number of closures of riding schools around the city of Liverpool. They get developed out for residential accommodation, and we kept asking why, and it was part of an access issue. We argued for access, to improve access by improving participation levels, and we all rode, or were associated with people who rode, and yeah. If you ride, then you've got a desire to see other people ride, haven't you? And we're all those of us who were involved in it were all residents of the City of Liverpool. Our purpose is to introduce kids who have never ridden before, aged between 5 and 10, to the basics of riding, and they ride with us for 7, 8, 10 weeks, and then we signpost them on to other riding schools. So we deal with very, very large numbers of riders. So whereas most riding schools have a clientele of about 120, we have a clientele potentially of thousands.
Okay, but this is unusual, isn't it?
It's very unusual. There's no reason why it should be unusual, but it is unusual. It's unusual because it's the first. You asked the question, the implication behind your question was, why this area? The answer to why this area is, it's because it's where I have represented as a councillor in the past. It's where my and some of my colleagues' businesses are located. It's where I and some of the others live. It's our local community, but critically, it was where we had a suitable building.
Let's talk about the building, because it is unusual.
Let's talk about the neighbourhood as well, yeah. Because your point was, is it unusual? And the answer to that is, until the late 1960s, early 1970s, no, it wasn't at all unusual to see horses in the urban landscape around the port, which is where we are. That was completely commonplace. And so you've got a whole generation of people my age and older, particularly men, who have worked with horses, or working horses, ponies, and that residual memory lies within this community. So when horses reappeared, or became more commonplace again, no one thought it was strange after they thought about it for a bit. So, yeah, yes, of course it was strange. Oh, look, there's a pony. But there's that pony again. Oh, there's some more ponies. And after that, it just became commonplace. So we are just commonplace now.
Well, we were walking along the streets an hour or so ago, because the ponies had been out grazing and you were having them led back to your building here. And some of the drivers will have experienced that before, some of them perhaps not. But it's still striking to see ponies being led down. You know, it's an urban road.
It is. And I mean, you also saw, I hope, that there were nursery age kids with their parents and grandparents stopping and watching them go by, and someone popped out of the local church where the dinner club was and watched them, and someone who was going to the bookies stopped. Yeah, and it's not surprising, because bookies of course are associated with horses. It's their core business, and so you've got all of that going on as well. So it wasn't just the traffic, it's the people. There is, people tell us, and I anecdotally, I think the amount of traffic has actually gone up on this road, and it's in part because people choose to drive by to see if they can see the ponies when they're out. And I know that because, well, I don't. I think that is true because I've had people tell me that they drive down Mill Street now on the way home with their kids in the back of the car in the hope the ponies will be out. Why not?
Absolutely. Let's then talk about the building, because it is unusual. Tell us about what this building used to be.
It's a Victorian music hall, then a theatre, then a cinema, closed in the late 1960s, then an engineering works, then a storage facility, then a chemist, then a storage facility, then a theatre again in 2008 for Liverpool Capital of Culture, then storage again, and very finally I convinced a number of people associated with the building that we could trial a starter riding school. And we did. And that was 2.5 years ago.
It's been enormously successful. I know it's something that we at the BEF were enormously proud of it. What impact have you seen this make on the local community?
It's not a difficult one to answer that, but it's a complicated one to answer because there are so many different impacts it has made and so much more it can do. And a lot of it's anecdotal, but there is some quantifiable stuff that we've got. But, you know, I'm standing on the yard and I'm looking at 5 school kids from literally the school that stands behind us and their teacher grooming one of the ponies, and it's a quiet, gentle activity, and it's being run by Lorraine, who's a local person who used to ride in her youth, who's now employed with us. And, you know, you can actually hear probably hear in the background. And that's just one small tiny vignette of something that's going on, and that's just multiplied up and up and up and up, and you just don't know what. You don't know what each of those children is going to take away with them. You can never know that.
So my name's Esther Sales. I'm a volunteer at AMIRT and I'm the project coordinator of AMIRT Animal Therapy, which works in collaboration with Park Palace Ponies.
And this is an organisation that works specifically with kids who've asylum seekers, that kind of thing, is it?
So AMIRT is actually an international disaster relief organisation, but they also work on kind of community development programmes. So I originally got involved with AMIRT. I was a volunteer there. They do a lot of different schemes. They've got a breakfast kitchen, which they run. They've got kind of English teaching classes, which they do for local asylum seekers and refugees. And they do lots of programmes with the elderly, kind of for companionship and to tackle loneliness. So I initially got involved with their English teaching classes, where I got to know kind of the asylum and refugee community, and I really saw kind of a gap there, particularly with the children who seem to be very kind of socially isolated. So I saw that as a problem there, and I wanted to do something about it. Now, I'm very passionate about horses. I've had lots of experience in the past with kind of horses, horse riding, and seeing the therapeutic benefits of that. So I had this idea to maybe kind of create some kind of horse therapy program for these children, because I thought it would be quite amazing if that's something that could be done. So I went to speak to the director about this and we got talking. In the meantime, whilst this was all happening, I saw on Facebook about Park Palace Ponies, this new project that was setting up, and I thought it looked really exciting. So I managed to have a meeting with Keith, who's one of the directors there. We got talking and we kind of got this process rolling as to kind of developing some sort of animal therapy programme where AMIRT would be collaborating with Park Palace Ponies.
So give us an idea of the problems that these children were facing before they came here.
So initially, this project was set up for kind of the asylum children in that community. So there were a lot of issues with kind of social isolation. A lot of these children weren't allowed to go to school and they were kind of almost stuck in their accommodation for long days, not really doing very much. So we wanted to address that, to help the children become part of the community, to tackle this isolation and this loneliness, and to really make them feel welcome, as well as giving that kind of beneficial therapeutic aspect, because a lot of them had come from traumatic events that had happened prior to them arriving here. So those were some of the challenges that they had been facing.
And the people who are working with them, because often we're talking about these kids aren't going to schools, but there are teachers who are spotting that they've got ADHD, they've been through pretty traumatic experiences before they've come here.
Yeah, so that was actually with the school. So initially we started off working with these asylum children, and then we wanted to expand it out to schools as well, for children who didn't necessarily work well in the classroom environment or who needed some form of respite from school for whatever reason. So we had different reasons for different children coming to us, and this was kind of done on a referral basis as to what the teachers thought would be best. They chose which kids would come. So we have children coming for maybe behavioural reasons, some children struggling with ADHD, autism, that kind of thing. We had some children who had some quite difficult family circumstances with social services involved, or family bereavement, also things like children who were struggling with anxiety and mental health. So we had children coming for kind of a variety of reasons, and that was up to the teachers as to who thought would be fit to come to this programme and who would benefit from it the best.
And obviously this place had a massive positive impact on those kids.
Yeah, it was actually incredible to see the results. But even prior to that, Park Palace had been absolutely incredible in helping to formulate this programme. You know, it's a new project, and I myself am a university student, so it required a lot of communication and a lot of willingness on both sides to really work together to make this project happen. So that was in the first instances, but even once the project got going, the impacts were actually quite remarkable. With the asylum children, we had children coming in who spoke very, very little English, were incredibly isolated, isolated from the community. They came in, and even after one or two sessions, their language had really, really developed. They were a lot more engaged, a lot less withdrawn, and really seeming to enjoy themselves, really getting the opportunity to be kids and have fun and to relax, which was really something quite incredible to see. And then on the other side, we have had some school children coming in. We had a child who came in kind of incredibly withdrawn, very difficult family circumstances going on, and the teacher had fed back to us afterwards that he'd appeared incredibly, you know, relaxed and happy, something that's not normally seen from him in school. So they were quite surprised by those benefits, and really happy that they had the opportunity to use this service.
And you've actually been working with these kids, so there will be times where you will have seen the impact almost straight away, or perhaps not straight away, but over the course of, say, a few days. You were telling us before about I think it was a girl who was just didn't speak to anyone. And then after being here, you know, she was talking.
Yeah, no, that was actually quite remarkable as well. We couldn't quite believe it. She came in very, very withdrawn again, pretty much non-verbal, didn't really speak very much in school. And I think it was on the second session, actually. You know, we'd come, we persisted, we'd given her space, working with her, still being very welcoming and inviting, spending lots of time with the ponies. You could tell almost immediately she really, really connected with the ponies. And it was actually during a grooming session that she turned to me and she said her first sentence to me. She said, "How old is the pony?" which seems quite unusual, but for her to have felt in so relaxed an environment where she was able to communicate like that was something that really speaks quite loud words, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd say that this has had a huge impact on the kids that have used it?
Hugely, and it's such a unique opportunity for these children to be able to do something like this in an urban area as well. It is something really, really special and something we're really, really hoping to continue and to reach as many children as we are able to.
I'm Deputy Head of Holy Family, literally round the back of the stables.
And your name is?
Angela Snell.
Angela Snell. We've just seen you working with half a dozen of the kids there, who, and one of them really didn't want to do it
no,
at the start.
Not at all.
But she was loving it at the end.
Yes.
Tell us about what you've seen.
Well, I mean, we've gone from children who have no experience of ponies, or in some cases animals at all, and absolutely terrified when they started off, to shouting "go faster" and unable to get off at the other end in the space of under an hour.
I'm guessing as well you notice how much of a positive impact it has on them, not only that they're enjoying being on the horse, but there'll be plenty of kids that come to this that perhaps are struggling in school, perhaps struggling at home, but they get on the horse and they just transform.
Yeah, we've got a wide range of abilities there within a very small group. One of the little boys speaks very little English. He's only recently arrived in our country, and he was getting as much pleasure out of it as children who maybe had a few more opportunities in life. So they were just amazing. Just, you know, academic ability didn't come into it. It was just the love of the pony.
So how long have you been involved with Park Palace then?
Well, we haven't had that much involvement at all. We see them regularly because they literally exercise next to our school playground. But to actually now they're more established, to come down and have some real interaction is great. A couple of the children were coming down initially in their own time, helping out, mucking out all the dirty jobs. But yeah, it'd be great to have some more involvement.
And what are the kids telling you when they've come off the back of this, when they've come away from one of these lessons? What are they saying to you?
They are as high as kites. I feel sorry for the poor parents now who are going to get badgered tonight. Can I have lessons? But yes, they've just loved it. They are going to be full of it tonight, ready to tell the next group tomorrow.
Andy McCormack, I'm the PE lead and Year 5 teacher at Lawrence Community Primary School in Wavertree.
Okay, what I'm interested in talking to you about here, Andy, is what impact you've noticed that Park Palace Ponies has had on these children. And I'm talking, let's split it into two. So first of all, when they're there, and second, when they then come back to the school afterwards.
Okay.
So let's talk about the first thing, when they are there, because often these are going to be children who have got particularly difficult backgrounds.
Absolutely, very difficult backgrounds. And when we've taken them, the initial reaction for most of them is one of trepidation. But very, very quickly, due to the staff and due to the ponies themselves, really, because they are a really nice animal, they've become very accustomed to their surroundings and started to enjoy themselves. And then after one or two visits, really, really started to, you know, make that relationship with the ponies, make that relationship with the handlers, and enjoy themselves totally. So fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So much fun. That's what's been relayed back to me. You know, it's a great time. When can we go again? And that's my problem, really, trying to, you know, have the ability to send them back again and again.
There's something special, isn't there, about ponies, about horses, that brings something out of a child who perhaps has difficulty relating to other people, relating to other kids, but they absolutely are able to have that bond with a horse, with a pony.
Incredibly so. As I say, I was apprehensive myself the first time I came in close contact with one, but after a while, it's almost as though you do make that connection with them and you've got that bond. And the children, as I say, after a few visits to Park Palace Ponies, you can see them identifying with the pony that they've been riding before and making a relationship and a connection. And it's absolutely lovely, because it not only builds the self-esteem in as much as they're able to ride, but they've got that, well, that connection with another animal, really, if you think of it in that way. And they come back and they're so happy, and they, oh, sir, it's fantastic. And I get a buzz because they're happy. So it's vicarious, you know, happiness, really, all round. They're riding the pony, I'm happy because they're doing it.
And let's just talk finally then about the because you've touched on it briefly there, about after they've come back. So you've had these kids who've had a great time on the ponies, and it's the difference you can see between the child before they went and the child that comes back afterwards.
Absolutely.
Tell me about the different kind of thing you see.
I've spoken to not all the children, but some of the children, and indeed I hope to speak to some more of the children in a bit more detail. But they're absolutely enthused. They come back and they say to me what a fantastic experience they've had, how good they feel about themselves, where maybe in the first week they weren't able to get up on the pony and ride, you know, ride around with help. They're getting on themselves, they're, you know, riding rounds, and they want to go to the next step, you know, in the process, you know, on their road to learning how to ride, so to speak. And that for me is a fantastic, it's a fantastic thing to do. The other thing is, Matt, it's like with anything, I mean, how do we know that one of these children couldn't go on to better things in the equestrian field? Possibly couldn't he? Horse racing or show jumping, any of these things. It's just having that opportunity to do it, isn't it? And that's what we're hoping to give them and then carry on. But that's a big problem for us, really.
But as well, it's that confidence, isn't it? That's what they're getting. Is that confidence?
Indeed, yeah, confidence. As I say, for some of them, they've got very, very low esteem, which is sad. But to be able to go to Park Palace Ponies, get onto a pony, eventually ride around without a handle in the end, imagine what that would do for your confidence. I know for me, I'd be terrified to get on a horse and do the same thing. So from a scale perspective, I would just be buzzing, and they do. They come back and they're full of themselves, which is great in a positive way. And the self-esteem's risen, the confidence has risen, and them as a person have grown. For me, that is an amazing thing, isn't it?
I'm Sasha Ludlow, and I'm on the inclusion team at Lawrence.
Okay. From your own experience with these kids, when they go to Park Palace Ponies, what do you see? What effect do you see on these kids?
I see a massive change in behaviour as far as confidence goes, listening skills, enthusiasm, the whole package, really. Big smiles on their faces, pleased to be there, want to join in. It's brilliant for them.
And some of these kids are going to have really challenging backgrounds, aren't they?
Yes, they are. There's a lot of barriers that our children come over in order to get into school. So the extra opportunities to experience something like ponies is amazing for them.
And so when you're working with them and you've got a child that's got that sort of challenging background, perhaps the difficulties at home or difficulties wherever, What have you seen when you've been working with these kids about the sort of impact just being around these ponies has on them?
Joy is one of the big things I notice in them. Happy, excited, but also confidence, a belief in themselves that they can do this and overcome these challenges. Just with a pony has an impact on believing that they can overcome other challenges. So we've seen in actual school a bigger impact on their confidence and their enthusiasm for everything.
I was about to ask you, so obviously you see a big impact when they're with the pony, but what kind of effect do you see it having when they then come back to school afterwards?
Just again, the confidence, the belief in the ability to overcome, whether it's worries, fears, anxieties, it's a sort of, they bring that overcoming of those worries back to school with them and are taking on more challenges in school than perhaps they did before.
Okay, that was fabulous, wasn't it? I mean, what an inspiring story. Those are exactly the kind of projects that we want to hear more about people getting involved in equestrian sport and also the impact, this social impact that our sport has on communities that sometimes are struggling to get reached by sport or even by any funds at all. So I found that really inspiring. Now, what I also found inspiring is the number of 5-star reviews we've had on iTunes. So we are going to, for those people who do leave us 5-star reviews, we are going to read you out and read your name out as a thank you. So who have we got?
So we have GGGB.
Yeah. Brilliant name. Well done.
Try saying that fast 3 times. So they say, great start. Can't wait for the podcasts to come, especially the road trip.
Now, the road trip, that is going to be the Europeans, isn't it? That's you, me and John Stroud, our photographer, going to be getting in a car and travelling from Rotterdam to Lemoolen.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Bags of AC/DC in the car. That's my prediction. Who else have we got?
So I'm not even going to try and pronounce this next name because there's a lot of letters there. But they say, can't wait to hear what the team got up to. Great hosts.
Another 5-star review. Yes. Superb.
And particularly when they talk about us as well.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, lovely.
Horsey McHorseface.
Yes, brilliant name. Well done.
They say, really excited for this to get going. Can't wait to see what Matt and Rachel have in store.
I can't wait either because we don't know ourselves at the moment.
We are very much making this up as we go along.
Correct. You may well have worked that out already. Fine, let's have one more.
Last one is from Bike Rider. It's early days, but this podcast sounds promising. I'm looking forward to catching up with all the horsey fun, facts and interviews from this knowledgeable pair as they canter across Europe and back, we hope.
Canter. Very Canter. Good. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, special points for that.
Oh, yes.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your 5-star reviews. If you want to get in contact with us, apart from leaving us 5-star reviews, how do you do it?
So you can email us, which is podcast@bef.co.uk. Facebook, we are Equestrian Team GBR. Twitter, @TeamGBR. And we are also on Instagram, where you can find lots of pictures from our trip to Park Palace ponies. We are Equestrian Team GBR there.
Great stuff. We will see you next week.